Well, good morning, how you doing? That's good. We're going to read together from Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 16, and it says this, I pray, this is the Apostle Paul, in case you're wondering, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ may make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to comprehend fully. And then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's a pretty cool prayer, isn't it? What an incredible, inspiring prayer that for 2,000 years stands as a prayer for the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. In this prayer, we have this concept that Christ will move from temples, that Christ will move from the heavens, that Christ will move from even just being a physical person that people knew, had heard of, or even met. Just one second. There it is. And from that place, God would move and make his home within our very beings. This is the prayer the Apostle Paul is praying for the people of God, the new church birthed in Ephesus. And this is a pretty easy idea for us because we are raised in this Christian kind of culture, and particularly in churches, say, well, let's invite Jesus into our hearts. And if you were a child and you were raised in church, you would have heard that phrase before. Am I right? Anybody heard? Ask Jesus into your heart. It's kind of this idea we almost think is just for children because it's such a childlike phrase. And yet, when the Apostle Paul is teaching this principle from the very beginning, what he's saying to the church is, everything is different now. The way you thought you knew and understood God and the gods, because a lot of people in Ephesus had, you know, from all different backgrounds of religion and worship, everything you knew about temples and worship and going to the grandeur and sacrifices and going through the process of pleasing gods just to try and get in God's good books, everything has changed. And now for the church, there is a new era. A new day has dawned. And in this new era, you don't have to go and find God anymore. You don't have to get out and pilgrim for days. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to lug your sacrifices or purchase your paschal lamb at the temple. No longer is God over there and you're over here. Now God has made his temple, his home, his dwelling place right within you. And this idea must have blown their minds because they were used to temples. They were used to everywhere there was a temple to this God, and they're actually a bit like our society now. There's all sorts of different buildings and temples around now, aren't there? And people travel to go and worship. In the basin, there's a Hindu temple. It's quite a big Hindu temple. A lot of people go there on the weekend. Sometimes hard to drive through that area. Has anyone found that? Because there's cars trying to get parking and a lot of people traveling to that temple. There's all sorts of temples around in our society. And we see people travel. They make the effort to go to the temple to draw near to God. But Paul is saying to the people of God, the children of God, it's a new day. And you no longer have to go to find God. That's kind of good, isn't it? Because God feels like if you're in a temple, maybe it's hard to find him, you know? You've got to get the right park and you've got to get in the building, you've got to wear the right things, you've got to bring all the right sacrifices, you've got to... Like, there's a lot of hoops to jump to draw near to God. And Paul says, this is a new era and God now dwells within you. I want you to imagine for a minute your body as a temple or a home. If God's dwelling, he lives there. And I want you to think for a minute about what that might be like. Use the imagery. I remember learning this as a young adult from a little Devo book I did, My Heart, Christ, Home. Think about the places within you that God might dwell. So perhaps God dwells in the kitchen of your body, the temple. My kitchen's right here. That's where all the desires of my heart get eaten and prepared and organized. And maybe Christ is dwelling, coming and dwelling in our appetites and our desire, in the cravings of our soul. Or maybe Christ just wants to dwell in our study, in our mind, where we do our thinking, our best planning, our organizing, or maybe our meditating, what we're reading, watching, what we're looking at, spending our time. And maybe that's the place Christ wants to dwell. Maybe he wants to dwell in the garage, the workshop where you're doing hands and feet stuff, building stuff, crafting stuff, making stuff, half finishing stuff. Or is that just our garage? You know, and that's maybe, I want you to visualize. Maybe it's in the bedroom. Ooh, the secret places. The heart, the secret places where nobody else knows exactly what goes on behind that closed door. And yet into these spaces, God wants to move and to live. He's moved from being a God who is changing our outward actions and behaviors to being a God who is transforming us room by room as he makes himself known and at home within us. And so, I lost two pages, just one sec. And so, as you imagine that, I wonder what you might think about the idea of God going through your temple. Are there rooms, like in my house, when people visit, that I close the door to? Does anyone else have a junk room or a hall cupboard? Someone's coming, quick, throw a door. Does anyone have that? Okay, good, just checking. That was just me. Are there rooms that you say, well, you can come into this one because I tidied one room. When people come to my house, I have a room straight off the door. Yes, come in to my home. But don't go into the rest of it because it's very messy often, right? It's not ready for visitors. And sometimes we can be a little bit like that with God. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk through the series of My Heart, Christ's Home. We're actually going to think through the different parts of the temple of the Holy Spirit and welcoming God in to bring transformation to our inner world. The places where we dream, where we wonder, where we fear, where we delight. These are the places we're going to ask and invite Holy Spirit and Jesus to do a freshen up and a reno, because he doesn't want to only go in the tidy room. He wants to go in all of the rooms. And yes, he might want to change a few things because, you know, he knows what's good for us. We'll come back to that in a second. So throughout this time, we might talk about a couple of things that we don't normally talk about in church. We might talk a bit about desire, craving, sex. We might talk about addiction and challenges and struggles with the things that we meditate on that are not good for us. We might actually talk about the private life of us. Not everyone. We're not all going to talk about it all at once together and confess. It's not an AA meeting. But the idea that we recognize, rather than just working on the outside stuff, which often we do because it's much more polite, God wants to work on the inside stuff. And naming those spaces is what God wants us to do. Some people might say, well, that's not for church. We shouldn't talk about these things in church. It's private. Nobody should be talking about such things. In fact, don't speak at all. You know, that idea that we should only talk about doctrine and teaching and Old Testament characters, apologetics and things like that. But, you know, we have talked through Lent about how God is much more interested in relationship than he is in religion. And so we are going to talk about these stuffs. It's going to be challenging for all of us. Even the preachers are like, oh, normally preach and talk and unidentify this stuff. But we know that when we don't address this stuff, we fail to get close to God. We fail to let him into the deep parts of who we are. We fail to get help in the areas that we most need it because we shut the doors and never let the help in. We fail to mature emotionally and spiritually as a people of God and as people in general. And we know that when churches overarchingly don't deal with this stuff, we become hypocritical. We talk about stuff but don't do it at the deep parts. We become unself-aware and we become known as ethically and morally bankrupt in the local community. And so we know we need the soul, deep soul work that God wants to do. And we must acknowledge this is always what church was about in the early New Testament. The Apostle Paul never held back on naming the things in our hearts, in our temple, that need to invite Holy Spirit to transform. He was never embarrassed to talk about lust and sex and greed. He was never embarrassed to name and write these things down. He didn't just talk about it quietly one-on-one, but to whole communities, recognizing as we name it, we enable ourselves to let God into those spaces. Of course, some churches have historically talked about this stuff, but they've talked about it in the context of controlling behavior. You might have heard, as I heard growing up, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you should not, come on, smoke. Therefore, you should not drink. Therefore, you should not. Sometimes, and I think we got so close. It was half a gospel. We got so close. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, things that we do will impact it. Yes, that's true. But instead, what happened was churches used it to modify behavior. So it was religion. We said, you know, behave this way, behave this way, behave. Your body's a temple. Don't do this, or you should do this, because instead of recognizing your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, it's an internal process that God wants to transform. Often things like smoking and drinking start not as a behavior, but as an attitude or experience or a desire, a craving, or a broken something that we're looking to meet, a need. And by controlling and modifying people's behavior, we never help them truly allow Holy Spirit to transform and renovate the inner world of their life. Now, none of that is to say that God won't ask us to change. He will. He does. He invites us to go further up and further in because he knows that when our souls go unattended, there are disruptive and destructive things that take place within. And God knows how we best function. He knows what brings abundant life to us. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I get them. I understand. And they follow me, and I give them life, eternal life, abundant life, a little bit later in the chapter. So there is this realization as God makes his home within us, he will ask us, you know, that's got to go. It's time. Had a long time, it's not given you life, it's got to go. Or it's time to move that in. Or reshuffle and reorganize the furniture. Let's prioritize things differently. Let's sort the mess that's overwhelming you. How about let's organize? Some of you are smiling, you're thinking about your homes, aren't you? Yeah, me too. But you know, like our internal homes as much as our external homes, God wants to bring his peace, his life and his goodness to us. And so there will be an invitation to change. But the invitation comes from us because we say, Lord Jesus, my body is your home. I want you to be welcome. So I'm inviting you to bring change. I'm inviting you to have permission to move the furniture in my kitchen. I'm inviting you to tell me what in my study needs to be cleared out. What's not leading to life. I'm inviting you to teach me new ways to meet the desires that are formed in my heart in the deepest parts of who I am. I'm inviting you to help me become your home, a place that you are comfortable, but I experience life. Are you excited?
Yes.
That's the next season. And I feel a bit excited too. I feel like we're ready. We're ready for God to continue to do his good, growing, maturing work in us. So I want to leave you with one more thought before we go today. And this came because as a staff, we meditated on this passage during the week. And as we did, we talked around the idea, this passage tinkers with the idea of knowledge and experience in the context of the love of God. When I was growing up, I was encouraged to know God. It was an intellectual thing. I was taught to know about God. I was taught to know what he likes and what he doesn't like. I was taught to know his doctrine and his theology and the rules in the book. Anybody else have that kind of an experience? If you say no, I'll say, I'm so pleased for you. Because, you know, the tension is I often go back to the knowledge of God in my head. But when we read this passage, what it says is, I pray that you will know and experience what can't be fully known. I want you to know it, body, mind, and spirit. I want the fiber of your being to understand how wide and deep and long and high the love of God is. If you're like me, you try and get your head around that. You think, oh, what does that look like? But it can't be understood that way. The Apostle Paul says, no, this is a temple body, full fiber experience. And so we're thinking a bit about that as a staff. We're talking about it, this temptation of just teaching knowledge and how do we help people experience the love of God. And I had a little memory come back to me and I want to share this with you. So this year I read at the beginning of the year a book by a psychiatrist on post-traumatic stress disorder. And this book was called The Body Keeps Score. If you like medical books, read it. It's amazing, it's interesting, fascinating, a little bit long. But the value of it, now there are some people here I know who have read it, so I'm going to try and summarize it, but I might not get it perfectly right because details are not my thing. But the summary pretty much is that when we experience a trauma, and this guy was referring to Vietnam veterans or child sexual abuse victims or domestic violence victims or people that had experienced terrible car accidents. When we experience a trauma, it's not limited to those things, what happens is we experience it two ways. We have a cognitive experience. So we remember, not always actually, but you know, we might remember, we might know, we might understand here. But then he says, also our body knows the experience. It learns, it responds, it has a neurological and a nervous and a something else system. All the systems engage with the experience. So we have a knowledge and we have a knowledge by experience. And he says, what happens then is some people just get cognitive help and they'll help themselves towards healing. But often they still feel stuck and trapped because their bodies still have the experience within it. And so when something happens that surprises them or unsettles them, actually the response happens again of what the trauma was. The body says, I know this, I know what to do, and it goes into whether it's panic attacks or whatever else, and the body remembers. It keeps score. It understands, not cognitively, it understands the experience of trauma. And if that's something you understand or you're familiar with or something you're working and walking through now, I want to pause and just say there's help. There's ways to get help for that, you know. As people of God, we can seek spiritual healing, but we can also and should also seek medical help. Counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists, all of the above that are able to help. And we'd be very happy as a church to support you in finding the right people if that's important for you to do. Because that's a big deal. It's scientifically, it's a pretty amazing deal because they've found pathways for healing for the body. And I'm not going to talk about them today because that's not the point of my story. Actually, the point of my story is that I realized as I was reading this passage that the reason the body keeps score in the bad stuff is that it was designed actually to keep scoring the good stuff. We were created to experience God's love, not just intellectually. And our whole bodies were created to respond to his presence in such a way that it becomes a knowledge within our very fiber. Our neurology, our nervous system, our skin, everything knows, recognizes the presence of God. And so even when things are difficult, actually, what happens is it triggers us towards, but this will be okay because God is faithful. He's always been faithful. I know that I know that I know that he loves me and how wide and deep and long that love is despite this circumstance. I think it was an original design to help us keep score when the road is rough, that God is good. And some of you will know what I'm talking about with these experiences. You will have had an encounter with God that you can remember that wasn't intellectual. Whole body experience. Maybe it was when you came to faith. Maybe it was when you were baptized. Maybe it was when you were out surfing or walking on the beach, out in the wilderness. Maybe it was in a worship service or at a camp, youth group. And if you close your eyes now and you take yourself back to that moment, you can still feel it. Your body has kept score. The love of God, His acceptance, His forgiveness, His grace, His kindness, oh, it's alive in your body. Yeah? I've got lots of memories of this, but one memory I remember as a young adult. I was having prayer, someone prayed for me at a YWAM meeting, so a little bit dangerous, and without my theological agreement to this idea, I just fell to the ground under the weight of the presence of God. And I remember I tried to get up, and I felt like I was on the gravitron. You know, I couldn't get off the ground, flopped over to my stomach and pushed myself up and sat on my backside and fell straight back. I just could not get up. And then God spoke to me, and He said this. Are you ready? It's life-changing. I'm God. You're not. That's it. Very important for me to know my whole life. I've hung on to that truth all the way through the fibers of my body. Now, God doesn't turn up like that all the time to me, but my body remembers His truth. It's the core of my being. So whatever's coming today, tomorrow, whatever's coming, God is God. He's the King of the jungle. And my body keeps score. And I believe that God wants for us to invite Him through our temple, His temple, the body, to the different parts of who we are, to the messy rooms with bags full of stuff we've been cleaning out and we haven't quite got rid of, to the places maybe that need, actually they're broken and they need proper renovation, places that need a good scrub, places that need fresh fragrance, the parts of us that God wants to make His home in. And I believe as we do over the next few weeks, we have messages on this, that God will actually make Himself known and His love, how wide, deep, and long, and high it is, afresh for us. If you've been walking with God a long time, like every home, our bodies need a fresh reno. They need a clean out. They need a bit of maintenance. It never hurts to walk through this journey of renewal again. And listen to the preachers. They'll bring some good thoughts. We'll do our best to teach. But listen too to Holy Spirit. Not just on Sundays. As you hang out the washing or as you drive to work or as you brush your kids' hair or, you know, visit with friends. Keep your ear open to the Holy Spirit. Make room to hear what He has to say. Because I'm certain He wants to form us on the inside to be His temple, to be known by Him, to sense and know His closeness, to discover and understand how wide and deep and high and long His love is for us. Is that exciting? All right, well, let's pray. Loving God, come, fill us. You're welcome in us. I mean, we know we've got messy rooms. We've got bits and bobs. We've got rubbish and clutter. We've got things that we hold so close to us that nobody knows. And some of them are not leading us to life. And we know that too. But we want You to be welcome in us. We want to be close to You and to let You be close to us. So, Spirit of the Living God, we are Yours. Come live in us. Conform us with Your gentle, persevering grace and truth. And help us to know how wide and long and deep and high Your love is. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.